Welcome to another episode of Sisters in Christ podcast, where we continue our series, In Pursuit of Financial Security, with part two of our discussion. Pam, welcome.
Thank you, Tamara. Good to be here.
Last time, we reminded ourselves that true security is found in God's provision, not in material wealth. But faith isn't passive. It's active. James chapter 2, verse 17 tells us, faith without works is dead. God calls us not just to trust Him, but also to live wisely. That means planning for the future, managing resources carefully, avoiding debt, and cultivating generosity. Today, we are going to talk about what it looks like to live with faith and financial wisdom side by side, so that we are not just hearers of the word, but doers also. If you've ever wondered how to make practical, God-honoring decisions with your finances, this conversation is for you. It's that time now. Get your coffee, your tea, your water, or whatever your favorite drink may be, and join Pam and I as we continue part two of our pursuit of financial security. Pam, how can we practically resist the cultural pressure to have more while living within God's wisdom?
Contentment. I think that's something that we can strive towards. Contentment. God has given us sufficient for what we need. And most of the time, that more tomorrow, we use debt to get it. We go out and extend ourselves borrowing. And so we need to practice contentment and resist the pressure to have that more, and it starts with remembering where our true source is.
Yeah.
And it's in God.
I was thinking there's a scripture that says, be content with such things as you have, because He Himself has said, I will never leave you.
Nor will I forsake you.
Mm-hmm. That's great comfort. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where the God of all creation is saying, I am here. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. I'm going to care for your needs. And a lot of time, we move ahead of God because we're not sure He's coming in time.
Yeah.
And so we go ahead of Him, not waiting, and we get ourselves in trouble because we want to fix the situation.
Or we get anxious.
We get anxious.
Anxious to make this decision. This big financial issue is upon you. And rather than spending time and asking Him, we have access to the debt. And so we go and we borrow to make this decision. And debt is not bad in and of itself. If you want to get a house, yes, you need debt. Maybe even a car, you need debt.
Yeah.
But we have to always remember debt is bondage.
Yeah.
The Bible said the borrower is slave to the lender.
Yeah.
It's a bondage. And excessive debt is excessive bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can avoid that by being good stewards and only borrowing when we need to and not for frivolous items to impress people who don't even care about what you have.
Yeah.
We can save ourselves from a lot of problems.
And the society we have, Pam, is one of, we call it keeping up with the Joneses. In every society, in every neighborhood, whether it's in a lower income neighborhood, upper income, that exists. You know, even if you have little, you don't want Miss Jones next door to say she have more than you. Don't let it be Christmas time. Her lights can't be outshining your light. And that creates an issue with us on the way we think about money and the way we use it, more so for ourselves rather than as believers, it should be advancing God's kingdom here on earth. The scriptures says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask with the wrong motive, because you want to spend it on your pleasures. And that's something that sticks with me, because instead of we're using the resources that God has given us, yes, to take care of ourselves and our family, but to also advance his kingdom here on earth, mm-hmm. He said he gives us the power to get wealth, mm-hmm. to advance his kingdom. It's a very specific purpose mm-hmm. for it. Yeah. And sometimes we turn our eyes away from the things that can be a blessing to us. Mm-hmm. Okay, giving to the poor, feeding the hungry, taking care of those who do not have the naked, clothing them, mm-hmm. and so forth. These are where the blessings of God flow back to us when we are following his word and giving to the least.
And it's not saying that you can't have the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's not saying that you can't have those things. You can, but you have to always put it in perspective and manage money according to the wisdom of God. If you're taking everything that you have just to pour it into stuff, a man's life does not consist
in the abundance of
his things. So a lot of times we think that way.
Yeah.
We think because we dress a certain way, we have a certain type of car, or we live in a certain area, that means that I am somebody. But in God's eyes, no.
Yeah.
A man's life does not consist in the abundance of your things. And you know what story come to mind? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, mm-hmm. and they were complaining because they were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God bless them. You were in bondage. And they said, we may as well go back, because at least we could eat anything we wanted to eat. You bring us out in this wilderness to die. I would rather go back. And you know, God in his mercy said, okay. He sent the quail at night so you could have meat, a little meat. And then he sent manna from above in the morning. And he said to them, only take what you need. And you know the story,
mm-hmm.
don't take excess. And there were some people in there who took excess. And they saw what happened. The maggots and all of that, you know, destroyed it. But you know what I thought was so interesting about that story? It said, though there were some who took little.
Yeah.
And there were some who took much. And those that took little, it was enough. They didn't need any more. And those that took much, it wasn't excess. It was just what they needed. Look, there are some people who are going to have a lot, and there are some people who are not going to have as much.
Yes.
God give us according to the portion that he has for us.
And it comes out of a heart of covetousness.
Yeah.
We see mm-hmm. somebody with something and we want it.
Mm-hmm.
And because we want it, we overwork ourselves. We make it, getting it an idol. And then we feel as if we are comparative, mm-hmm. that comparison mm-hmm. syndrome that we have.
That's it.
It's a serious thing.
Comparison. That's it right there.
Compare yourself to neighbor to the left, mm-hmm. neighbor to the right,
mm-hmm.
and put yourself in debt because of it.
Yeah, killing out yourself, competing with somebody. Well, sometimes these people you're competing with, you don't even exist to them. They right there living their lives the way that God probably called them to live. And you looking at that, and like you say, you're coveting that, and you're competing with them. And I think one of the ways that we can help ourselves is to distinguish between needs and wants.
Mm-hmm.
If we could master that, then we would be in a good place.
Yeah.
A lot of things that we put out there as needs, they're not need.
Mm-hmm.
They are wants. And if you have a want, you could delay that.
Yeah.
You don't need that right now. Don't stress yourself out. You ever been in a store tomorrow and you pick up an item? Well, I have been in that situation. You pick up the item and you look at it and you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need this. Mm-mm. Put back where it goes from.
Amazon car. You
know? Well, that's something I don't do. I don't like to order online. So I don't have a cart with Amazon. These things happen in the store. But that's maybe a good thing, because I'm not in the store a lot.
Right,
so
right. That's
a good thing. But I think if we could distinguish between our needs and our wants and not go into debt for a want.
Yeah.
Do not go and borrow money for no vacation.
Yeah.
That's not a need.
That's a want.
That's a want.
It's a staycation.
Yes, exactly. Or maybe get something a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
You will alleviate the stress and the bondage that you would have after you've already enjoyed that vacation.
Yeah.
Now it's time to deal with that bill. No, God didn't call us to that. When you're going to make a big purchase, does this purchase honor God? I know that may sound like weird. Like, what? Why am I going through that? No, you have to. Because remember,
it's a good filter.
We are stewards.
Yeah, that's a good filtering point.
Yeah.
Ask yourself that question before you make
it. Does this purchase honor God? Because you are just a manager of what he has given to you. If I had a condo, Tamara, and I say, Tamara, manage this condo for me, please. I'm going away for a bit. I want you to manage, collect the rent, upkeep the place. You can't go sell my condo.
No.
You can't go leverage my condo.
You don't have the authority.
Because that's not yours.
No.
I only asked you to manage it. And that's what we are. So before you make, and I'm talking to followers of Christ, I'm talking to Christians, before you go out there and make these big ticket purchases, even the smaller ones, am I honoring you with this, God?
God help us.
Direct me, God.
Yes, that's a good question to ask. Lord, does this honor you? Will this bring you glory? Is this something you want me to do now? Debt enslaves us.
Mm-hmm.
And living within God's provision, it brings freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to feel enslaved to getting what others have because we've put ourselves in debt because of it.
Mm-hmm.
If we live within the means that God has provided for us and blessed us, it will bring freedom to our lives.
And just to add to that, Tamara, so when you go out and your ego is at play here and you need a car and you can get a car for $30,000, but it's always your desire to get a certain type of car that's maybe $70,000. And so you borrow the money to get the car. You don't own that car.
No. Not until I notice.
Yeah, the bank owns it. And if you borrow that money and something happened, you maybe lose your job, something happened that you cannot pay for that car, the bank is going to take it from you. There was a scripture in Matthew and it says, no one builds a home without first
counting the cost.
Because if you do it, you will start it and you will not be able to finish it and the people will mock you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go and extend yourself with debt that you cannot afford and something happens and it has to be taken away from you, then the people around, oh, I know he couldn't afford that. I don't know why I did that in the first place.
And you bring yourself to shame.
Okay. So just, you know, see God first.
Yes.
Seek him and seek his provision and try not to be motivated by your ego.
Yes.
More so on the need.
Yeah. Pam, what simple financial habits could you adopt today that may bring peace and security tomorrow?
I learned something very early on. My mom taught me the power of saving.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, don't spend 100 cents of that dollar. Put something aside, Pam. And that's what I've done. And then the second thing that I learned was tithing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working since 1996.
Bring it out now.
You mean my age? 30 years? Oh, Lord. I've been working since 1996. And I have never missed paying my tithes.
Thank God.
See, tithing isn't from me saying to God, I want you to bless me. Tithing is me honoring God mm-hmm. with my money.
Yes.
Now, think about taking 10% of your salary. You know what you can do with 10%? You can do lots of things. Yeah. 10%.
Yeah, you can.
But I'm saying to God, you have asked me to do this. You have admonished me to do this. And I want to be faithful to you in mm-hmm. doing this. Just like how with my savings, I ask payroll to just take it out. I don't even get
you don't
to
see
it. I treat my tithes like that. I don't even see it. And I live on what's left. So I have proven that if you give him that 10, he will bless that 90%.
Of course.
I'm a living witness. That's what God will do if you are faithful
yes.
to him. You're not giving it to receive anything. Yes. You're giving it because he said that you should do it. And you are honoring him with your money.
Yeah, he said, bring it into his house that he may have meat in his house. Mm-hmm. And prove him if he would not open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings, that you will not have room enough to receive it. Mm-hmm. So it's in his word
yeah.
and in obedience to his word. And he said, if you love me, mm-hmm. you will keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And so you want to obey him in that. And you want to obey him in your generosity, in your giving. Mm-hmm. Be a virtuous woman.
Yeah.
Be a woman who is kind and her hands extended to the poor. Be a generous person. Because if your hand is open in giving, then you can receive. Yeah. But if your hand is closed tight, mm-hmm. Nothing can get in there. You know, everything is closed up. Mm-hmm. But in our saving, mm-hmm. we see that Joseph, he gathered up the food mm-hmm. for 7 years because he realized a famine was coming. And he laid up the food in the cities and he gathered very much grain mm-hmm. as of the sand of the sea, mm-hmm. not as the rich man and Lazarus, where he was doing it for himself and his own pleasure. Joseph was doing this for a greater purpose. Mm-hmm. He realized a famine was coming and there was a great multitude of people he needed to care for. Mm-hmm. And God in his wisdom even had him not knowing at that point that he would actually be saving his own family
yep.
during that time. So God was in this mm-hmm. and giving Joseph instructions and the wisdom to be able to operate in Egypt mm-hmm. with when there was years of plenty to save and put something aside so that when that time of famine came, he would be able to save many lives.
But you know, Tamara, that's a financial principle.
Yes.
You are looking ahead, not just living for this moment. So you are storing up while things are good so that when famine comes, you will still live a comfortable life.
Yes.
That's like retirement.
Yes.
You're working, you're healthy. So you're taking aside a little bit of what you have, putting it away so that when those years come where you are not receiving a regular income, you have something waiting on you that you can live. Your quality of life
yes.
will be the same as when you were working. And I think a very good scripture to support that is Proverbs 21 and 20. Mm-hmm. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. And to me, that is saying the wise person saves.
Yes.
Saving for the future, but the fool spends everything they have right now.
Yes.
It's a biblical principle.
Right. And it's scary because there's a lot of people who do not apply these principles. Mm-hmm. They live for today. Now, mm-hmm. we know that there are people who are in places where they really cannot
yeah. mm-hmm.
They really cannot, based on their income levels, based on the rising cost of food, electricity, and other things. They're really between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone like that?
See, whatever it is, if we talk in money now, if you have a seed planted, God has given all of us a skill. Yeah. Whatever it is, He is saying, use it. It may not be as much as the millionaire or the person of 100,000, but whatever you have, He has given you enough to do what He requires you.
So it's the theology of work. You have to work.
Yeah. And see, that's the first place.
You have to get working.
By the sweat of your brow,
you shall eat bread.
You've got to work.
Yes.
Unless you can't because you're sick.
Yeah.
And you're not able to. But if you are healthy and whole, you have to work. That's the first place you can get income.
That's right.
You've got to work.
Use your skills, your talents, and giftings to...
to go and work.
Generate.
To generate income.
Yes.
And then from that income, you invest it and you save it for the future.
Yeah. Saving is not hoarding.
No.
We're not talking like the rich man and Lazarus. It's wisdom for future needs. So just want to plug that in there. Mm-hmm. Pam, how has generosity, big or small, shaped your trust in God's provision and your sense of financial security?
I think like we mentioned, Tamara, in episode one, generosity protects from greed and connects our heart to God. When you know that I can give without fear that I will have lack because I trust in the God who will provide for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God uses our hands, our feet. He uses us mm-hmm. to be a blessing out there. And there are many needs out there. And I'm not saying that you should just give. You should use wisdom.
Yes.
Bible said, give according to your heart. But use wisdom. And there's sometimes you're going to say no.
Yeah.
You're just not interested.
No, I have no qualms about it.
If someone, no, I don't have it. Sorry. But then He wants us to have a heart where generosity and giving back, whatever, it doesn't always have to be money. It could be our time. It could be our service. Give back to others. It protects against greed. 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 through 8 reminds us, whosoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he that sowed it bountifully will reap bountifully. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that at all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You don't have to be afraid. If God placed a need in your heart and He wants you to give, you don't have to be afraid thinking that you're going to run out if you do it. He is saying go and you meet that need because He will bless you.
Yeah. Giving breaks greed's grip and increases faith. And generosity is God's antidote for materialism and the pathway to joy. Pam, what is one practical financial change someone can make this week to walk in both faith and discipline?
Start a budget. If you feel that you have an issue with money, start detailing where you are spending your money. And you may say, I don't have a lot. Start it. See where your money is going. The Bible says where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. And after you've done that, you pray. You tell God your desires. Tell Him that you are where you are at. He knows, but He wants you to say it to Him. Tell Him that you want to be in a better place financially and that you need His help to get there.
He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are unfaithful with little, you will be unfaithful with much.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a pursuit of financial security with God at the center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not self at the center.
Mm-hmm.
With God at the center, we will prosper. Mm-hmm. And I'm not when I'm saying prosperity or prosper, mm-hmm. I don't mean mansions and this great wealth. I mean being content mm-hmm. and finding joy mm-hmm. with your financial position mm-hmm. because it's working for you. Yeah. You're not enslaved in debt. Mm-hmm. You're not making unwise decisions. Mm-hmm. You're making wise decisions. You're praying things through and you're seeing God's hand at work mm-hmm. within your life and that of your family. Mm-hmm. That's where it lies.
And you know, we talk about comparison and we talk about coveting persons. You know, the Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes.
Are you prepared to do what is required for the much? Or you just want it to soothe your ego?
Yeah, and to satisfy our wants.
Yeah, much is required. So whatever God has given you, wherever you are, use it to the honor and glory of God.
Yes.
Tithe. I encourage you. If you don't feel comfortable with where you are in worship at a church, find a church and you give into that ministry. He promised. Prove me now, he says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. You are holding on to that 10%. That can't help you. That by itself, you need a God kind of blessing on that 10%. I encourage you, save.
Yes.
Put something aside for the future. I don't care how much it is. Start it. You could be making $10,000 a month and you have not saved to this point. Pull out $100. If only $100 a month. Put it aside in an account and be consistent with that money you're putting aside. Watch your spending.
And it's never too late, right?
Never too late. A fool spends everything they have. The wise save for the future. Because it's your spending that will cause you to get in debt.
Yes, yes, yes.
And be generous. Wherever God leads your heart, be generous.
Amen. May God give us wisdom to live within our means. Mm-hmm. Discipline to save mm-hmm. and courage to give generously. Amen. Pam, can you close us in prayer, please?
Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you for the wisdom of your word and the guidance of your spirit. God, you have reminded us that faith is not only believing, but also acting. And that our financial lives must reflect trust in you and obedience to your ways. Lord, give us discipline to plan wisely, courage to live within our means, and a heart of generosity that honors you in everything, Father, that we do. Protect us from greed, from fear, and from the traps of debt. Instead, Father, lead us into freedom, into contentment, Father, in the name of Jesus, and into the joy of giving. For every listener, Father, I pray that you would grant clarity for their financial decisions, peace in their household, and provision in every season, Father. May our lives point back to you, the true source of security and abundance. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our faithful provider. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.